What if I told you there's a way you could be a second shooter at a family session so you can see exactly how the photographer prepares, how they interact with their clients, what they say when they're posing, or when they choose to use fluid motion, what they do when kids might not cooperate or dad might not be in the session? What if I told you there's a way you can see what the gear is that they're using, where they're positioning themselves when they're shooting, what factors they're taking into consideration when they're shooting? What if I told you there was a way you could see what their straight out of camera images look like, and then you could see their editing process too, so you know exactly how they get those start to finish images and those polished ones you see in your Instagram feed? Now, what if I told you could be that second shooter without ever having to leave your house? What if I told you that not only do you get to watch it from home, but you didn't have to remember every single thing you were trying to learn the first time you watched it? What if you could watch and rewatch as much as you wanted? How would that improve your images, your posing, your confidence? Now, what if I told you there is a way you could be a second shooter not only for one photographer, but 26? That's exactly what you'll experience inside the 2024 Online Family Retreat. Your inspiration will soar, your art will improve, your posing will become more fluid, and your confidence is going to increase so, so much. And honestly, your clients are going to feel so much more comfortable. Head on over to themilkyway.ca/family retreat. It all gets underway May 29th, and we hope to see you there.
When I started in lifestyle photography, I realized that most of the photographers that did lifestyle, when I would look at their feeds, it all looked like the same person, you know, a different version of a very petite blonde mom with her children. And I didn't see a lot of me in these pictures. I didn't see a lot of diverse sizes. Just in general, it just felt all the same. And one thing I kept noticing when I would have clients is they would say, you know, I came to you because I feel like I see me when I look at your feed. And it was something that it took me some time to process. Like, people are looking to see themselves in your work.
Welcome to the Art and Soul Show, where we dive into heart-opening chats on photography, business, life, and that messy in-between. I'm your host, Lisa DeJaso, a mom, a photographer, and entrepreneur, and I'll be sharing honest conversations and advice for photographers with insight on mindset, entrepreneurship, and creativity. The goal of this podcast is for you to be able to gain insights and strategies that will get you real results. Because let's face it, having a photography business can be lonely, but it doesn't have to be. This is the place you can go when you need a boost of encouragement, a kick in the pants, and inspiration to pick up your camera. This is the Art and Soul Show. Hello, my beautiful friends. Welcome back to the show. Today, I'm super excited to dive into today's conversation with Tiffany from Animal House Photography. Tiffany is a lifestyle motherhood and family photographer based in Huntsville, Alabama. She recently relocated to Alabama from South Carolina in March 2020 at the start of the pandemic with her husband and two beautiful daughters. In June, they welcomed their surprise baby boy to the mix. One thing Tiffany is passionate about is building relationships and connections and weaving that throughout her entire business. Because of this, she was able to rapidly build a thriving business in the midst of crazy transition and timing. Emotion and connection drive her images and are what clients are drawn to. So welcome, Tiffany.
Hi, thank you so much.
So can you share a little bit more about your journey into photography and really what inspired you to specialize in lifestyle motherhood and family photography?
Yes. So I am a teacher by nature. I was an early childhood educator for 10 years. And when I had my second daughter, I wanted to just take some pictures of them. I had no desire to be a photographer. My sister's actually a professional photographer. And so I was adamant that I was only taking pictures for fun. We did a little bit of brand repping, and so I would take pictures so they get some cute clothes, and that was really it. But over time, I just had friends like, "Oh, are you doing photography?" And I was like, "No, I'm not." Yeah. And then I had one coworker that said, And I always tell people this because it really is what started my business. She said, I feel like you're denying the gift that God has given you. And I, you know, that really stuck with me. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to buy a little DSLR, got my, you know, Rebel, Canon Rebel. And I was like, we'll just see where this goes. And yeah. So that's where it all started with my Canon Rebel, my $100 Canon Rebel. Yeah. And then it just kind of took off from there.
I love that. So tell me, where did the name Animal House Photography come from?
Everybody asked that. So when I was trying to come up with a name for my business, I thought of all the normal, like, you know, Tiffany Crenshaw Photography, and it just didn't feel really me.
Yeah.
And so our daughters have nicknames. They're Penguin and Panda. And so my husband said, you know, I feel like we're trying to run a zoo around here. And the name Animal House kind of came to our family. And then we, you know, he's like, well, what about that being your business name? And so that's what it is.
I love where that. It came from. I love it. So does your son have a nickname?
He is Skunk. He's our little stinker. So they're all monochromatic animals because we're an interracial family. So to us, it's just a cute little thing
I love that. So relocating during the pandemic must have presented unique challenges. So how did you navigate that transition from South Carolina to Alabama and continue to build a thriving business during that turbulent time?
Yeah, that was a crazy time. We moved March 1st, and my husband is an ICU nurse. And so we moved to Huntsville, and our plans were just to, you know, I was going to restart my business. I had already made some connections with mom's business owners here, and I had this whole plan. And then we got here, and 2 weeks later, I think it was about 16 days later, everything shut down. And so that plan went out the window. And so I kind of had to readjust. We do that, right? As business owners, we have to readjust. And so I started doing some little videos of me photographing my children and putting those out there for moms so that while they were stuck at home, they could have access to be able to photograph that time. And so I did a lot of that. I did a lot of virtual Zoom calls with different small business owners here, different moms, just trying to make those connections. And so that way, when we were ready to open back up, I feel like I already had built a little community here and was ready to kind of dive in. So that's kind of how that happened. Not at all how I planned it, but it worked.
I love that. So how has being a mother of three influenced your approach to your photography?
Yeah. So, you know, I was a mother of two. And then we got a surprise baby. So that has shifted things. We also homeschool. For any of those homeschool mamas out there making it work, it's, you know, it's a lot to have. Essentially, you have three full-time jobs. Yeah. And I think really figuring out what your goals are as a business owner and then helping things to align to that, you know, you still have to treat it like a business. And so finding time where you can have childcare and you can just have a few hours, you learn to be much more efficient when you have 2 hours. You get done like 7 hours worth of work when you can really focus. But I feel like it helps me be relatable to my clients. You know, most of my clients are moms that are just barely making it. And so being able to share with them, this is my crazy and not hiding that. I never pretend to be this like corporate mom that has it all together. So they get the real me. And I think they appreciate. Yeah. I think they appreciate that.
I think that's so important, especially when we live in this society where, you know, it's turning a corner a little bit with like the picture perfect Instagram. Like you're definitely seeing a lot more of reality on there, and it's super refreshing because those curated feeds really are so harmful to our mental health and to what we think everybody, like we think that everybody else has this picture perfect house, and you're like,
right.
Your own house is, you're like, oh my gosh, like it's a disaster. Like I'm currently filming in a closet. Like, those are not what they look like.
Right. Yeah. You can't see the shoved away piles of things. Yes. They are here though. Just, you can imagine. They are here.
So. I love it. So building relationships and connections is a key aspect of your business. So can you elaborate how you incorporate this philosophy into your photography and the impact it's had with your own experience with your clients?
Yeah. So One thing that I started when I moved here was doing pre-consultations. I had been doing ordering sessions after the session with clients, but it wasn't feeling right for me, and I needed something that made it feel more personal. And so I started doing these consultations where I have the families, usually it's the mom, but sometimes the husbands, come in beforehand, and we just spend some time talking about their family and where they're at and what they want to document. And it's almost like a therapy session, I feel like, for both of us, because we share about our children. We share about where we're, what we're struggling with. We share about what stages our little ones are in and what we want to capture. And, you know, there's sometimes there's tears, sometimes there's laughing. And, but I feel like setting that stage when I go into the session, there's already this level of connection and comfort, and it makes it much easier for them to open up and just be themselves. And so that's something, you know, why it takes a lot of time, but I feel like that front end time just makes all the difference.
Absolutely. Now, is your business model, are you doing after sales as well? Or are you like a digital model?
Yeah. So I'm somewhat of a hybrid model. Yeah. I'm not doing after sales meetings right now. Yeah. I think eventually I might go back there. But in this season with my littles, I have to really prioritize the time that I'm away. And so for now, what I'm doing is I have packages that have digitals and also prints in them. Perfect. And they're tiered. Yeah. And so, you know, investment wise, families can, you know, choose a smaller digital package, but most of them include those things you can touch and the tangibles, and they get to see those things when they come in for their consultation. They come in and they're able to actually look at the products, see the albums. And that also is a huge thing, because they're like, oh, like, you know, people hear album, they don't really know what to think about what, you know, they're like, oh, an album. But when they can hold those and feel the quality, it makes such a big difference.
I had these. It's funny because I really don't do a lot of sales. Like I've been like a pretty much a digital model since the beginning. But I started just like having a few things in the studio. Like I had these blocks that White House used to make. I'm not sure if they still do. I sold them for years. Like they're almost like a, I guess like a 6x6 baby block.
The and little,
Yeah. And I would, and like, seriously, people would see them. They're like, I want that one, that for grandma. And I had these tiny little accordion books that would come in like a
they
package.
They did have the accordion books. I used to order those.
And those would sell like hotcakes because they were like pretty affordable too, right?
Yeah.
Like, and so I just, it's so true. As soon as you see it, you're like, oh, I want that.
Right. And people don't know what they, when they can't see, you know, they're not sure, like, is this really something I want to invest in? But when they can look and see in the studio, like, oh, I want one of those. Yeah. I'm like, well, that's easy. Yeah. That's an easy.
Yeah. And it makes it feel less selly. You know what I mean?
Right.
Right.
Yes.
Like, and cause that was always the part with the sales that I really struggled with, is that I just don't want to feel like I'm selling. I just want to feel like I'm serving, not selling. Right.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I align with you in that. It was feeling a little salesy, and that's not me. And I thought, you know, I need to pull on my strengths, and my strengths are relating and connecting. And so if I can do that on the front end, I feel like the sales kind of take care of them, of themselves.
100%. So. I love that. I love that. Now, in advocating for motherhood, what message do you hope to convey through your photographs, particularly when documenting the messy days of having children?
Yes. Oh, the messy days. That's like every day. That's every day. Honestly, I think it's pretty simple. I think for me, it's just to be able to communicate to moms that you were there and that you showed up. You know, we all have these ideas of being this perfect mom and having all, like you said, like these Pinterest for me is the killer, because I'm like, my house never looks like that. And my crafts never look like that. And I can get very insecure.
Yeah.
And I can beat myself up when I'm not doing enough. I feel like I'm not doing enough business. I'm not doing enough cleaning. I'm not taking care of my husband. Like, I feel like all of these, not enoughs. But the fact is that our kids see us every day and they're happy that we show up. Like, they're not realizing all of our deficits. They're just realizing that mom's here and she's a safe place. And so I want my clients to be able to feel that in their sessions. And I try to always remind them, like, it's not about what you look like. It's not about how the 10 pounds you're still trying to lose.
Yeah.
That, you know, that we're all trying to maybe lose forever. Or,
right.
you know, that never go away. But it's just about you being there and, yeah. and you having those tangible memories that you were present for your kids, you loved them. And so I think if I can convey that to them, I feel like that's a success for yeah. me.
Yeah, I love that. You know, it's funny, as I was watching a TikTok the other day, and it was like a parody, but I was like, oh my gosh, this is such a good point. It was like, if you took your phone and you put it like right down right here and like faced it up and then looked at it, that's the angle that your child looks at of you. It's not this. It's not the selfie angle.
Right, right. Right. You know what's funny is I saw this little, it was a TikTok. It was probably about a year ago. And it was in the morning when you see your baby and they're all cute. And then it flipped to what your baby sees. And the mom just was like, just whoa. Like a total mess. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, this is so true.
Like, it's so true. And they love us.
Right. They don't care.
They don't care.
They don't
like,
care.
Your kids don't care. Look like what you know, they don't remember what you look like when you were 20. Right. Like,
right.
They care what we look like now and that we show up for them.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Now, representation in the photography industry is something that we have a shared goal with. What advice do you have for photographers that also want to amplify underrepresented voices, families, and stories with their work?
Yeah, that is very important to me.
Yeah.
When I started in lifestyle photography, I realized that most of the photographers that did lifestyle, when I would look at their feeds, it all looked like the same person,
yeah.
you know, a different version of a very petite blonde mom with her children.
Yeah. With a boho hat and a dress
right.
in a field.
with the hat, with the dress, you know, it was all kind of the same.
Yeah.
And I didn't see a lot of me in these pictures. I didn't see a lot of diverse sizes. You know, I saw a lot of very small sizes, not a lot of bigger sizes represented. Just in general, it just felt all the same.
Yeah.
And one thing I kept noticing when I would have clients is they would say, you know, I came to you because I feel like I see me when I look at your feed. And it was something that it took me some time to process. Like, people are looking to see themselves
yeah.
in your work. I had a client hire me for a wedding. I had never done a wedding. This was in 2021. And she was a very fair-skinned woman. Her husband's from Kenya. And she said, you know, I know that you can edit skin tones and make us look the way that we look. And that's why I want to hire you. And I said, you know, I have never done a wedding. She's like, I don't care. No. You know, and I realized there's a need
Absolutely.
For people to feel represented. And that if you aren't showing it, then you're not going to book it. So my advice would be really intentional about what you're sharing. And if you don't have a lot of diversity, you know, racial, cultural, size diversity, then to seek that out. Model calls are great. And I think people can be a little afraid that, you know, people might feel some kind of way. But I really feel like people will be encouraged and excited that you are trying to represent their family.
Yeah,
you know,
I think so. Yeah.
It's maybe in the way you ask, but just saying, you know what? I saw your family, your family's so beautiful, and I would really love to be able to tell your story through pictures.
Yeah.
Would you allow me to do that?
Yeah,
and I think that that's a great place to start.
Yeah, I love that. I think, you know, like even different abilities and different family structures, it's like, it's so important that everybody feels safe and represented. And I think like doing a portfolio review and like really looking at your website is so important to frequently go and just have that check-in. Like,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I totally agree with that.
Okay. So the question actually is about diversity and model calls. And is there any specific wording or suggestions you might have for someone who is model calling and they're not sure what to say?
Right. Yeah. And so I think one, I've learned that with model calls, you really have to be so intentional. When I started, and I'm not sure if you had this experience, it would be like, I need a family.
Yeah.
And then you get like,
still don't read.
Right, they don't. And you get like 200 and, you know, they show up wearing whatever they want to be wearing and it's not at all what you needed.
Yeah.
And so I've learned to be very specific about what you're looking for or to post your model call and then you sift through and find the families that fit. But it's okay to say, I'm looking for a family X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
I think that's fine. I think that it doesn't have to feel as maybe fearful as mm-hmm. it is, you know, in saying, because I'm working on a project, I'm wanting to add some more representation. Also, I think putting yourself in situations where you're around diversity, yeah. not just making it a model call, but
yes,
going to cultural events in your community. We do a lot of that. If there's, you know, different food fairs, or recently we just had the international fair here. And so being able to wander, being able to actually spend time learning and looking and making friendships and connections,
I love that.
With people that are different than you.
Yeah.
That's naturally going to lead to you saying like, hey, I'm a photographer. I would love to photograph your family.
Yes.
You know, it's you're already in that space. And so it makes it even more authentic, I think.
Yeah. I love that so much, because it really comes back to your whole approach of connection and just being curious about other people. And then it just is authentic, right? Like, I think that's how you build these connections. That's how you build these relationships. And that's how you expand your social network and your business at the same time. And I love that. Right. That's beautiful. Okay. So how do you prioritize self-care?
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I was hoping we'd skip that little question.
We can't be good at everything, Lisa.
You don't mean like the 5 minutes that I get to go to the bathroom in the morning before everyone wakes up?
Right. Exactly. That's self-care. Hashtag self-care. Right.
So admittedly, I am not the best at self-care. However, what I have become good at is setting boundaries in my business.
Yeah.
And part of that comes down to your pricing and comes down to figuring out where you want to be price-wise.
Yeah.
2 years ago, fall, I was completely burned out. And I would go to a session and sit in the car before I got out and just cry.
Yeah.
Because I had this feeling I felt like I could not physically get out of the car. Yeah. And take one more picture and talk to one more person. And I was like, I never want to feel like this again. This is not the way that it should be. I didn't want to edit angry. And I would feel I just feel so like, I don't want to be doing this right now, you know? And it was my own fault, because I said yes at the last minute, 5 times when I said no more. And I'd say, okay, yes. And so I decided, you know what? This is what I need to make. And this is how many sessions I want to do, and doing that math. And it helped me to realize like, okay, I've got to raise my prices and I'm going to take less on. Yeah. And so that has been working really well, because I don't often feel burnout from my business anymore. Mm. And I would highly encourage photographers to value yourself and value your family time. Yes. You don't get it back.
No.
You know, and what we offer people, it's a luxury. And it's something that should be treated with love and care and your best. And you can't do that when you are overwhelmed and overbooked. So that's my little soapbox.
I love that. One of the biggest tips that I don't always follow it, but I do try, is when you book your photography session, is actually putting in your calendar when you're going to edit it. So it's like right in there. So you're like, it's not free time. It's not time to book another shoot. It's actually the time when you finish what you're supposed to do.
I love that.
So you're not sitting on the couch at night, or like when you're supposed to be watching a movie, snuggling with your hubby, or just reading a book or having a bath. You don't feel bad because you've already scheduled that work ahead of time.
Right.
I'm not perfect.
I love that.
I'm trying.
I'm like, okay.
Like, just put it in there. Like, because we know typically how long our sessions take us to edit, right? And so if you just plan that when you are like fresh, you're like, okay, Tuesday morning, that's when like I'm freshest for this. And I'm, you know, maybe throw on some Netflix or something while you're doing it.
Right. And I love that.
Yeah. It's one of my little tips. So can you share any insights you might have on time management and productivity tools you rely on?
Yeah. So kind of what you were saying, even about, you know, scheduling it as blocks, it looks a little different for me right now because of the added addition of the baby. We were in a good rhythm, but you know, there are seasons, and there are some seasons where your work time is going to be not as planned out you kind of have to take the times that you have. But I think turning off your phone, putting it away, because, you know, we get in the rabbit hole of like, oh, I'm just going to, and then you're like, 30 minutes has gone by that I could have finished a task.
Yeah. And I was just sitting doom scrolling recipes on TikTok, right?
Right. But not actually cooking anything for dinner. So just scrolling recipes.
I did nothing.
Yeah. And so I think putting the phone away is helpful. I think also, like you said, looking at your calendar, and I like to put on my sessions. Like, so if I know I want to do 6 sessions for the month, looking at those even before I schedule things, because sometimes you've already booked your sessions and you don't even, you're so busy, you don't realize, and you keep booking and you're like, you don't realize like, oh, I don't actually need any more than where I'm at right now, you know? So that helps. And then I think just tools that speed up your workflow. Like for me, I use Photo Mechanic for calling. I know there's different systems, but it's so fast. And so it's like it makes calling take me minutes. It's minutes.
I love Photo Mechanic. I've been playing with, I think it's called Imagine AI. It's that new one where it like uses AI to like figure out and color it for you. I still don't trust it yet. Like
I go back. I've heard of that and I haven't tried it. I'm so controlling.
Me too. I go through and I was like, I feel like you've made poor choices, AI. Like I'm just like, I choose better.
Well, and I don't know. Does it? You know, how does it read emotion? Because there are some images that are, you know, maybe partially out of focus, or maybe it's not everyone's like looking or, but for what I shoot.
Yeah.
A lot of times those are the ones that I love.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yes, I know. And sometimes I'm a post photographer too. And a lot of my images are like, especially maternity, like, are like eyes closed or like nuzzled down. And I'm like, and it's like eyes closed. I'm like, but like,
and it kicks it out.
I wanted eyes closed.
Right. Right.
So it's coming along, I think. I'm sure they'll figure it out. But I'm with you on Photo Mechanic. That's where I love to play too. Do you use the CRM at all?
I do. So I use Sprout Studio. Mm-hmm. That has also been a game changer, because before I was just, people were just emailing me all the time. emailing me. And I'm like, this is not efficient. It's just not efficient. And so I love that it's streamlined. It comes through. I can, once I reply and they book, then everything just kind of follows on its own.
Yeah.
And so that's beautiful. And then it syncs with Google, your Google Calendar. So it's all in one place. I don't know how I would go back to not.
I know.
Without a full-time secretary.
Yeah.
I don't know how I would go back to not using a CRM.
I know. And even like the canned responses are so helpful. Like just when you get it and it's like auto response and it just kind of sets everything out. It's so handy.
Yeah. It has been it's where you have to invest in order to run a business. And I think sometimes as photographers, or maybe this is all small businesses, we get very like, I don't want to pay for something that I can do. But we can't do all of it.
No.
letting systems be in place, I think, is important.
I love that. So how do you overcome creative blocks and stay motivated during maybe not so creative times?
Yeah. So I feel like fall is definitely a creative block time, because you're just in the thick of it, you know? And I'm curious with your business, with your studio, if you see those waves of busyness also?
You know, I was pretty much solidly booked year round, and I would intentionally take off summer and usually December in my studio.
Okay.
And so I would overbook myself in the busy times. Like I think when I was usually between 12 and 20 sessions a month.
Okay.
On top of running Milky Way too. And so it was way too much for me.
And are there busy seasons in the studio? Like, are there busier times?
I would find yes and no. I would say with my, because I would do holiday minis. So and that usually would be between September and mid-November. So that would be like super busy doing that. And then also outdoor family shoots.
Okay.
And then I would have some newborns on top of that too. So that was just like the chunk of when I would hit December and I was like, I am done. I want to throw my camera in the river. Like, I am done. Yeah.
So crying in the car.
Just crying and just like, I don't, what am I doing? Why do I have to keep saying yes? Right.
Right.
And so when I finally unpacked, like, I don't have to say yes to everything. And when I, you know, it's been this year of just not shooting has been just really an eye opener on like what I want to go back to, what I want to do, and how I'm going to be filling my calendar in 2024. So it's just been, it's been eye opening.
Really. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also take December and the summer off. So that's funny.
Yeah. It's so great.
That's a photography thing. Like, it's like, don't need me in December. Mm-hmm. And we live in the South. It's too hot down here to be outside taking pictures in the summertime. So I try to use those times to refuel myself. I try to do a lot of my education in the winter.
Yeah.
Any courses that I'm really wanting, you know, I'll go ahead and purchase them when they're sold, but then wait until the winter to actually be able to dive into those, because I'm at a place to be able to receive that information. In the fall, I can't process one more thing. And it's also when I do my model calls in the winter. And so, like, I'm gearing up to do some in-home model calls because I really want, my goal is to transition to being majority in-home sessions over the next few years. That's where I'm feeling pulled, is to tell those real stories in people's homes. And so using this time winter to really do what I want to do.
Yeah.
And it's so freeing because there's no expectation with a model call. It's, you know, I'm very upfront that these are for me. And so, you know, obviously we always get beautiful images, but I'm very clear about, you know, I don't have an expectation of what's going to turn out. And if I want to do crazy things, then I just do crazy things and see, you know, see what happens. Yeah. So
I love it. I think that's, for me, that's what happened with my personal projects of my self-portraits is because
I love those, by the way.
They're ridiculous.
I feel like I'm not creative. I feel like I'm really good at what I'm good at, like, you know, capturing families, but the creative things, I'm like, I don't know if that's my gift.
I'm good at being ridiculous. That's my superpower.
I love it. I wish that I had that personality and that mindset. Yeah, I'm not there yet in my career.
Oh, I'm sure, like, I know you've got some different creativity in, like, how you see families and how you see, like, you're underestimating yourself. I know it. So are you ready for our lightning round?
Oh, yes. Nothing is better than a lightning round mommy brain.
Yeah. Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Okay. If you like to cook, what do you like to cook the most?
Pasta.
Mm.
Yeah. Homemade, like made from scratch. Italian. Nice. Yep.
What's the best gift you ever received?
Ooh.
I know, right? It's a hard question.
Probably our missions trip to India. We went and lived there for a few months when we were newlyweds, and just the time spent there with the kiddos and the orphanage we were living in. It was a pretty amazing, like a surreal time. So I'd say that.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
What are you most grateful for in this season of life?
My children.
Yeah.
Their joy. They're they're just joy. So loving being a mom right now.
Yep. Love that. What is something you've accomplished as an adult that your younger self would be proud of?
Public speaking.
Yeah.
You know, being able to teach in front of people and speak is not something I would have thought as a younger me that I would have ever wanted to do.
Yeah, I love that. Go-to song that lifts you up when you're down.
Anything Lauren Daigle. I'm a huge fan. So put on a good worship station, but specifically, I think she's always helps kind of get me in a better headspace.
Love that. What is the best piece of business advice you've ever been given?
To raise my prices during busy season. That is important because when you raise them in slow season, you get real insecure that no one's booking when naturally they weren't really booking anyway. And so raising them when you're in the middle of booking everything out I think is really reaffirming. So I highly suggest.
What advice do you have for someone just starting out?
Learn as much as you can. Mm-hmm. Be humble. I know we can all go back to our early work.
It's humbling. Like,
wow. Wow. But just soaking up education as much as you can and learning from as many different avenues as you can so that you can really find your voice and find out who you want to be as an artist. That and also starting off charging profitably, yeah. I think is really, it's easier to start that way than to try to backtrack and get there, I think. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I love that. And where can our listeners learn more from you?
They can find me over on Instagram at Animal House Photography, my website, which is animalhousephotography.com. And I do have on there a section for photographers, so they can come see me over there. I'd love to chat about all things motherhood and building a good brand.
Love that. And you're teaching for the online newborn retreat. So can you share what you're going to be teaching on?
Yes. So I am so excited. I am going to be teaching on photographing older babies in home sessions when, you know, you can't quite get them in those first few days. And so I'm super excited just to kind of share some behind the scenes of that session. It's going to be good.
Yeah, love it. So I love to end my interviews just with this last question. And it is, what are you currently curious about or artistically curious about?
So I'm really wanting to learn more about lighting in mm-hmm. my studio. I'm a natural light photographer, but I have some projects coming up in the spring that are going to require some different types of lighting. And so that's my winter project, is to really set up some light walls and kind of dapple in that.
Love that. Well, Tiffany, thank you so much for spending time with me today.
Yeah, it was great. I appreciate it. It's so much fun.
Oh, my beautiful friends, I hope you have loved this conversation just as much as I did. I'm sending you so much of my light and my love today and every single day. We'll see you next time. Hey, friend, you know what's the worst? It's just being mid-session and completely freezing. You start to feel awkward, your clients start looking at you for direction, and your brain feels like you just hit a wall. Now, believe me, you are not alone. And that's why we created the Storyteller's Toolkit. It's an emotive prompt guide to help sessions stay free-flowing and fun. And best of all, right now, it's totally free. It's full of prompts for parents, motherhood, family, siblings, and couples, and even surefire smile prompts. We've put together over 200 prompts for you, so you'll never be at loss for an idea again. Grab your copy at themilkyway.ca/toolkit.